there, and welcome back to Sivan Says, Taking the Torah Personally. As always, I'm Leah Leibowitz, and as always, I really don't matter around here because this show is about one person. It's about the person who we're soon about to hear. She is one of Israel's greatest journalists, thinkers, writers, intellectuals, and Torah teachers coming at us live straight out of Jerusalem. Sivan Rahav Meir, how are you this wonderful week, my friend?
Shalom Liel. I do want to recommend, thank you for everything as always. Thank you for exaggerating completely. But I want to say this week, I read Liel Says, there's a beautiful article you wrote here in Israel in Hebrew, Israel Hayom. I really urge people to Google it. Even Google Translation might help you out. Thank you for the wisdom, you know, seeing what's really going on campuses in the States. It helps us understand, you know, now it's really a mutual story. You daven for us. We pray for you. We're really on the same page now. So Liel says that's also a very nice format. But thank you as always. Now let's zoom into this week's Parsha.
Exactly. Let's escape from the madness of American college campuses and into the eternal wisdom and greatness. This week's Parsha, Parashat Kedoshim. As always, we begin. Sivan, give us the 411. Give us the skinny. Give us the brief introduction. What is this Parsha? What are we about to read?
Let's see. By the way, we do not escape. When we read the Parsha, we can go back to the world with more, you know, teachings and ways to face the challenges. But the name of the Parsha is Kedoshim. It means holy or holy ones. You know, it's not a thing. It's plurals. Kedoshim, not just one Kadosh. We all want to be Kedoshim, holy ones. It is found in Leviticus, the book of Vayikra. The Parsha begins with the sentence, Kedoshim tihiyu, meaning you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Kedoshim tihiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokechem. Meaning, our life here, it's a process of, I would say, becoming more and more holy, trying to touch holiness. And when you say Kedoshim tihiyu, it sounds like, okay, what am I supposed to stop doing? And the answer is, you should do more. You should be involved in this world. It is followed by dozens of mitzvot, 51 commandments, through which the Jew, you know, sanctifies himself, herself, and relates to the holiness of God. And it's really, if you want to ask me, you know, what's the Parsha about? The answer is everything in life. So in a nutshell, everything. Kedoshim tihiyu means every aspect of your life, every corner, every detail can be sanctified, can be elevated, and you can uplift basically everything you do, say, eat, talk, touch, etc. That's the essence of Kedoshim, the Parsha of the week.
Okay, so 51 mitzvot, that's a lot. And when you read this, it's everything from sexual conduct to agricultural conduct to all sorts of imaginable form of human behavior. And Sivan, the genius of this podcast is that after giving us this brief summary, you give us some deep dives. So out of these 51s, we could talk about this, you know, all week long, but what should we focus on this week?
Exactly. We'll focus on two verses, two psukim, and then we'll say a few words about the national holy days now in Israel from Yom HaShoah, commemorating the Holocaust, the official day when we remember the 6 million victims of the Holocaust. Next week, there's the official, I would say, Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut in Israel. As you all know, we commemorate those who fell and we celebrate the independence of Israel. We have two special days ahead. But first of all, Kedoshim, and it is connected to the Kedusha, to the holiness of the days, the upcoming days. First of all, I want to focus, the first verse is living a holy life. It means when you ask yourself, I want to become holy. What do I do? When you look at the list of subjects covered in Kedoshim, in the Parsha, you see, try and check if there's one predominant theme telling us how to be holy. You mentioned just a few, but it's honor your parents, keep Shabbat, do not worship idols, leave a corner of the produce of your field for the poor, do not steal, do not tell lies, do not delay paying salaries. So this list basically continues with more commandments like do not put a stumbling block before a blind person, or judge your fellow man with righteousness, or do not go gossiping among your people, no gossip. So basically the Torah discusses laws of clothing and intimate relations and prohibition against tattoos, by the way, and standing up for the elderly, treating them with respect, or treating the convert, the gerei tzedek, those who converted, treating them fairly, keeping kosher. The entire, I would say, range of subject encompassing almost every aspect of life comes under the headline of holiness, kedusha. It's not a holiness that requires us to aspire to reach mystical heights. It is found in our relationships with our spouse, family, friends, community, business partners, WhatsApp groups, you know, in court, everywhere. I think the predominant theme in the Parsha is actually the same as in, you know, the central of the entire Torah, how to live our lives. And I met, you know, so many Jews throughout the world in certain communities, and they like to come to shul like once a year. I'm a Jew when it comes to my Brit Milah, circumcision, Bar Mitzvah, you know, when I'm 13 or 12, when I pass away, I'm buried as a Jew, and when I get married, 4 or 5 days throughout your life, or maybe once a year on Yom Kippur, on the Seder night, and Pesach. I think, especially this year, it's always relevant, but especially now when the world basically wants, you know, less Zionism, less Jewish values, less things that we represent as the Jewish people, the state of Israel, I think that's our opportunity to tell, first of all, ourselves, Kedoshim to you. Let's bring more holiness to this world. It's not enough. If you came only once a month, now come once a week to shul. If you went to listen to a Torah, to one Jewish podcast, now you add another one. I think Doshim to you, that's like a mission, for a task for all of us, especially now when the world wants us to be frightened and to not, you know, to disappear and to be silent. No, Doshim to you, every aspect in life. I think the first verse this year speaks to us, you know, more than ever. And I do want to say something, not about, you know, usually we connect everything to current events and to the situation in the Middle East. I want to say something in general about three words, very famous words in the middle of the parsha. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. Maybe it's the most well-known verse in the entire Tanakh. Innumerable explanations have been written about, you know, love your fellow as yourself. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. You know, it's a core principle of the Torah. By the way, Rabbi Akiva, the famous sage, said that's the principle of the Torah. And Hillel said, this is the entire Torah and the rest is commentary. Ve'idach zilgmor. That's the base. That's everything that's in the Torah. You know, those three words, ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, love your fellow as yourself. Basically, that's the essence of the Torah. I think in the global world today, unfortunately, it's not always so obvious that we love ourselves. Meaning, first of all, a person is expected to love himself, right? Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, it means, first of all, you love yourself and then you love your fellow friend as you love yourself. Meaning, we're supposed to just love, you know, and feel a sense of strength and you know, meaning in our life. This demand today, I think, especially when I speak to teenagers, sometimes it's impossible to fulfill. A few days ago, here in the center of Yerushalayim, we live in the neighborhood of Nachlaot, three teenagers asked me for a selfie. They asked me to take a picture. They, you know, I'm on Israeli TV and they wanted a selfie with me. No problem. And I looked at the phone, and I was smiling as a normal human being. And you know what they did? Can you imagine? Maybe you can, you know, people do not see us, but try to understand what did they do? How did they look? What did they do with the eyes and the fingers and the face, basically?
Like,
you know how teenagers take a selfie?
You like the duck face?
Exactly.
Right?
But it was, yeah, not just duck face, everything. You know, they used the eyes, the mouth, the tongue, the cheeks, and the fingers. Everything was so weird. I mean, they looked ugly on purpose. And maybe it's like, you know, I'm used to it, but because they were four girls, I was only one, I looked like the crazy person there because they were all, you know, and I asked them, you know, seriously, what is it? You don't even think about it. For you, that's the right way to, when you look at the camera, that's what you do. And one of them said, honestly, she said something so sad. She said, yeah, because I thought about it. I do it because I know people will laugh at me. The kids, I don't know when I will post it, you know, the teenagers, they will laugh at me. They will sometimes make me uglier, because they will add, you know, something to the, they will make the picture even uglier. So I make myself ugly before they do it. And that's principle.
Heartbreaking.
It's the opposite of "Ahavta l'recha kamocha." It means you don't love yourself. You don't have this self-esteem. You don't see yourself as an individual with, you know, respect and distinguished, someone who is everything. Today is so public. Everything is so, you know, it's the opposite of kedushim to you, and it's the opposite of "Ahavta l'recha kamocha," because when you don't build something in there, you don't feel that you're created in the image of God. Everything is so public. Nothing is intimate. Nothing is yours. Everything belongs to everyone all the time, basically. You know, when I was a teenager, we used to ask if a tree falls down in the middle of the night in a forest and no one was there really a sound? That was a philosophical question. We wanted to sound smart. Today, I think you should ask, if two girls went to the mall, but they didn't upload a photo, did they really go? I'm not sure they went. Philosophically, they weren't there. I mean, nothing. Everything is out there. Nothing is yours. Meaning, in this generation especially, with new media, social media, everything going on, I think we should work on "Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha." First of all, love yourself. And how do you see yourself? And many of the commentators, they ask us to continue, because among the many answers given to the question, how can one love, you know, himself, I think we should just continue reading until the less familiar end of the verse. It's not just "Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha." It said "Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem," meaning when you understand that you were both created by God, who gave you both a soul, you and your fellow friend, then you will love him, her, and yourself, because you're both part of humanity. You're all created Betzelem Elokim, in the image of God. And that's the common denominator. That's a mutual, I mean, the thing you share, the bonds of solidarity and commitment, it connects you. Now, basically, you know, I love you because I love myself, because we are both part of the same whole, the same family. And maybe that's the challenge, to understand, you know, we all have this spark, we're all holy. And then you can love, first of all, yourself, and then see your fellow friend. I think especially for teenagers today, that's crucial. It's not just, you know, God forbid, people who commit suicide. It's the way you go out there to the world. With more, the more you're on social media, the less you feel, you know, a self-esteem and appreciated. And that's, I think it's part of what we're all dealing with. It's a global problem. And Parashat Kedoshim reminds us to love ourselves first.
Is so wonderful and so timely, but I know there's one more lesson for us.
I think we must discuss, you know, I said we have here in Israel a very special week, so many national days remembering basically the everything that happened in this generation, from the Holocaust to the independence of the state of Israel, especially this year. I think we should first of all thank the Jews abroad, and thank, I would say, the ambassadors, people like you, people like our listeners. I get, thank God, lots of feedback from communities. Just this week, one of the listeners from London shared, you know, what's going on in Europe and sure in the States, but everywhere. I think we have so many ambassadors, and no official appointment, no salary, but it's an opportunity to express our gratitude. You know, you support Israel is the solution of the Middle East, not its problem. You understand. Sometimes you understand the truth. You represent, you know, in a way you understand the history in the right way. And first of all, it's an opportunity, I think, as an Israeli, to thank people abroad, understanding we're all part of the same story. Maybe also thanking our ancestors. You know, I thought of, like, my ancestors 1,000 years ago. They were just believers, and they didn't know what's going to be the end. Today, we live here in Israel, but there were no spoilers, okay? No one told them what's going to happen at the end of the day, okay? And they felt so humiliated. Think of the local landlord, the anti-Semitism everywhere, persecutions. People were humiliated, suffering everywhere, in Poland or in Syria, everywhere. And they believed, they held on. They, you know, we're here thanks to them. So once upon a time, I remember someone asked me, What's the biggest scoop you covered as a journalist? What's the most exciting headline, the things that you cover? Baruch Hashem, I cover here in Israel basically everything from wars to peace agreements, from the parliament, the Supreme Court, political system. You know, I feel the last decade in Israel, basically the headline is to Bibi or not to Bibi.
Right.
That's basically what we're dealing with. But my answer is the biggest scoop is Am Israel, the nation of Israel. Our story, I mean, covering an ancient nation coming back to its homeland after 2,000 years, seeing prophecies of consolation. You know, I see it with my own eyes. While we're recording the podcast, I see Yerushalayim out of my window, you know. I think that's the greatest scoop. And for me, that's an opportunity, first of all, to be thankful. And I want to just end with a beautiful story. It connects everything from Kedoshim to you, to the Holocaust, to our great state celebrating 76 years of independence. It's a beautiful story about Eliezer Silver, an American leader, American Jewry, a leader during the 40s. And he was the president of the Va'ad of Hatzalah, the committee that rescued so many Jews from Europe during the Holocaust. And a short time after the war ended, Rabbi Eliezer Silver arrived at one of the, I would say, DP camps for the survivors. He organized a prayer service and he invited the survivors to participate. One of them refused to take part in the prayer, and he said, he explained his position and with the following story. He said, in the camps, there was a religious man who had somehow managed to smuggle in a siddur, a prayer book, which he gave another prisoners to use. At first, the old man said, at first I admired him for his courage and compassion for others. But soon I found the rest of the story. This man would lend people this siddur in exchange for food. Okay, he took advantage of them in their weakened state, and starving Jews would hand him their last piece of bread in exchange for a few minutes with his siddur. If this is the way Jewish people act, he said, I will never open a siddur again. Rabbi Silver listened to the story and he thought about it for a moment. And then he responded gently. My dear Jew, he said, I understand how you must be feeling. It is difficult to judge a person in such a situation. The circumstances are strange, and you are correct. It should not, a siddur should not have been used in such a way. But I have only one question, he said. Why do you focus on the man who used his siddur to take food away from starving Jews? Why not focus instead on those starving Jews who are willing to give up their last piece of bread for a chance to pray from a siddur? Mm. And now, how can we not continue to do what they did? They were willing to sacrifice everything in order to pray. Why won't you pray with us? I heard this story for the first time this year, and I think it now it's even more relevant because now we face ultimate evil, absolute evil once again, and we can still choose, you know, what to focus on. How do we respond? How to interpret events? Okay, we can easily focus now. Instead of celebrating Israel's independence, we can focus on what happened on October 7th. Just talk about the, you know, horrific tragedies and the things we saw and all the failures. And by the way, failures yet to be analyzed, okay? I do not ignore the problems, all the horrors of Simchat Torah. But we can also choose to look also on, you know, the triumph of human spirit, the will to carry on, the Jewish, I would say, resilience, the millions of Jews that are now supporting Israel, rethinking about seeing right from wrong, okay? The incredible faith and strength and unity and solidarity that emerged since that day. This story really helped me out this week. I hope it might help you out to focus on the right things, to see the bright parts. And may we have Shabbat Shalom and happy Independence Day and meaningful times in Israel and abroad.
Sivan, that was so, so, so beautiful. And as always, I ask you to leave us with some homework, some brief to-dos that we could take into this magical week and apply the wisdom of the Parsha in our own lives.
So this week, it's really simple. If you listened carefully, one, Kedoshim to you. How can we be holier? How can we sanctify our life? How can we bring more holiness? Tiny things, that tiny, you know, just decisions we made in our house or work or shul. How can we bring more holiness into our life? A little bit. Two, ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. That's a very easy task. Love yourself. Understand God created you. He loves you and he loves your fellow friend. That's why we should all love each other, because in a way we're all part of one, you know, united big nation, big family. And the third mission is, think about Rev Eliezer Silver's story. And you should choose. Do you focus only on the problems? It's your decision, okay? It's our, the way we interpret it, the way we see things. And especially now, it's our decision. How will we judge others and ourselves? And that's, how will we share the story? What will we tell ourselves and future generations? It's up to us. So see the bright parts and add more positive things into this world.
Baruch Hashem, Sivan Rav Meir, as always, Shavua Tov, and thank you so much for this wisdom.
Thank you very much. Toda Rabba.
You've been listening to Sivan Says, Taking the Torah Personally. If you enjoyed the show, then please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're a brand new show and every single star helps, I promise. Sivan Says is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, with the wonderful and insightful Sivan Rav Meir. It's produced and edited by Ellie Blyer and Josh Cross. Our team also includes Courtney Hazlett, Robert Scaramuccia, Quinn Waller, Stephanie Butnick, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/Sivan Says. We will see you here next week. Until then, Lehitraot. Goodbye.